Radio Prague News.
Details have been released about Wednesday's funeral procession of the late ex-president Václav Havel. French President Nicolas Sarkozy will be among the world leaders attending Václav Havel's funeral. And Czech MPs have passed a bill allocating gambling revenues to the state and municipalities. The authorities on Tuesday released details about Václav Havel's funeral procession. The casket with the remains of the late Czech president will leave the Prague Crossroads Center in Prague's Old Town, where it has lain in state since Monday, at 8 a.m. on Wednesday. The casket will be placed on the same gun carriage that was used in the funeral procession of Czechoslovakia's first president, Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk, in 1937, and will be drawn by three pairs of horses. The procession will cross Charles Bridge and move up to the Prague Castle area, where it should arrive by 10 a.m. After a brief ceremony at the Castle Guard barracks, the coffin will be transported to the Vladislav Hall of Prague Castle, where it will remain until Friday's funeral ceremony. Václav Havel's widow, Dagmara Havlová, has invited the public to join the procession. The lower house of the Czech parliament on Tuesday honored the late president, playwright and human rights advocate Václav Havel. The MPs held a minute of silence and the speaker of the house, Miroslava Němcová, read out some of Václav Havel's quotes. The lawmakers also listened to an address by Václav Havel to the lower house from 2003. The ceremony concluded with the Czech national anthem. French President Nicolas Sarkozy will attend the funeral of Václav Havel in Prague on Friday, his office said on Tuesday. Mr. Sarkozy will be one of many world leaders attending the funeral of the late Czech president and playwright. Along with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and the former U.S. President Bill Clinton, as well as the presidents of Slovakia, Germany, Austria, Poland and other countries. The funeral of Václav Havel, who died on Sunday, aged 75, will be held in Prague's St. Vitus Cathedral on Friday. The ceremony will begin at noon. Amidst media speculation that the Kremlin ignored the death of former Czech leader Václav Havel, the Russian embassy in Prague on Tuesday said an official condolence was sent to President Václav Klaus on Monday. A spokesman for the embassy said the condolence on behalf of the Russian Federation's leaders, President Dmitry Medvedev and Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, was sent through diplomatic channels to Prague Castle. The spokesman also said the embassy had not received an official invitation for the funeral. In other news, the Czech lower house on Tuesday passed a new bill allocating revenues from gambling to the state and municipalities. If the bill is signed into law by the president, municipalities will keep 80% of revenues from gambling machines, and the rest will go to the state budget. Local authorities will also keep 70% of revenues from casinos, lotteries and other games. The new legislation should enter into force in January 2012. The gambling taxation bill, part of the government's tax reform package, was originally approved by the lower house in November, but left a loophole for lottery firms to use part of the revenues for charitable projects of their own choice. The bill was amended in the Senate, which removed the loophole before returning it to the lower house for the final vote. President Václav Klaus has appointed MP Alena Hanáková the new culture minister. Ms. Hanáková is a member of the Mayors and Independence Party, which is associated with TPO 9, and was formerly the mayor of the Moravian town of Vizovice. Her main task in heading the Ministry of Culture will be completing the restitution of church property. She replaced fellow party member Jiří Besser, whose departure from the cabinet last week was compelled by the fact that he had failed to report property and business interests in the United States in his property statement. The Czech opera singer Václav Zítek died on Tuesday at the age of 79, a spokesman for the Czech National Theatre said. Václav Zítek's refined vocal performance made him an exceptional singer, particularly in pieces by Bedřich Smetana. The baritone singer spent 25 years as a soloist in the opera of Prague's National Theatre. In 2007, he received the prestigious Czech Theatrical Award Thalia for lifetime achievement. And finally, a brief look at the weather. The next few days will be mostly overcast with rain and snow in places. Daytime highs should range between 0 and plus 4 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, preparations continue for the funeral of former president and dissident leader Václav Havel. After that, the famous Czech Christmas Mass of Jakubian Ryba comes to Chicago after 200 years. And later on in the program, we continue in our commemoration of President Havel, this time talking to his economic advisor, Tomáš Sedláček.
He was, you know, the one who was always trying to say that economics is more than just money and profit, and that companies have a larger role.
I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that here on Radio Prague. As thousands of Czechs line up to pay their last respects to Václav Havel, bowing to his casket at the Prague Crossroads Spiritual Center where he is lying in repose, preparations are underway for Wednesday's morning march to Prague Castle, Friday's celebratory mass at St. Vitus Cathedral, and other commemorative events. Daniela Lazarova has the details.
Czechs are mourning a modern-day hero and the nation's first post-communist president. Although Mr. Havel did not die in office, the respects paid to him are truly exceptional. He will be given a state funeral and the highest military honours. Following a special session of the government on Monday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas announced a three-day period of mourning from Wednesday through Friday.
Vláda České republiky vyhlašuje 21., 22. a 23. prosince.
Flags will be flown at half-mast. Theatres and cinemas will alter their programmes to suit the occasion. And the government has asked the public to refrain from ostentatious undertakings. The government will propose a special law recognising Václav Havel's contribution to freedom and democracy, which the Prime Minister has asked Parliament to approve in his first reading. At the request of the late ex-president's wife, Mr. Havel's body has been lying in repose at the Prague Crossroads, a spiritual centre that he himself founded. On Wednesday, his remains are to be transferred to the historic Vladislav Hall of Prague Castle. The casket will be drawn by horses on a howitzer gun carriage, the very same gun carriage that bore the remains of Czechoslovakia's beloved first president Tomáš Garrigue Masaryk. The cortege, which is to set out from the Prague Castle garrison in Loretanská Street, will be followed by family members, close friends and politicians. 600 soldiers from the Czech Armed Forces, as well as members of the Prague Castle Guard, will be part of the procession and lining the route, among them bearers of historical banners of Czechoslovak legions. A special ceremony is to take place in the Vladislav Hall, at which the country's political elite will honour the man who helped change the course of Czech history. Among those present will be President Václav Klaus, members of the government, deputies and senators, church dignitaries and foreign ambassadors, a gathering reminiscent of those that take place on the country's state holiday. After the ceremony, the hall will be open to the public for people to pay their last respects. On Friday, a minute of silence will be observed and a 21-gun salute will be fired in the late ex-president's honour. The funeral service for Václav Havel, which is to be celebrated by the Archbishop of Prague, Dominik Duka, and Mr. Havel's old friend, Bishop Václav Malý, will take place on Friday at noon at St. Vitus Cathedral within the Prague Castle complex. At the family's request, a private ceremony will follow at an unnamed crematorium, and Václav Havel's ashes will be placed in the family vault.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarova. This is Radio Prague. Now, in other news, it has taken more than 200 years for Jakubian Ryba's Czech Christmas Mass to come to Chicago, but it seems that good things come to those who wait. The Ryba Mass was premiered in the Windy City on Saturday, and Rosie Johnston was there.
In the United States at the moment, department stores and radio stations are playing Christmas songs more or less non-stop. But it's only upon very rare occasion indeed that you hear this sort of Christmas music in the American Midwest. On Saturday, December 17th, Jakubian Ryba's Czech Christmas Mass had its Chicago premiere. The Mass was performed to a packed house at the Chicago Temple. Kieran Nielsen was one of the singers.
It was a completely new piece for me, but it was such a charming piece. And the writing for the orchestra is just like a town band in a way. And I think that the organ part could well be done on a harmonium in a small village. And the writing for the choir is extremely simple, so I could see that being done, say, by a group of people who love to sing with their town band. Obviously, it was very beloved of the people who came in the audience.
The performance was originally the idea of Judy Munson. She encouraged members of the Windy City's Czech community to team up with the Chicago Temple's choristers and sing.
Once they started, and once they could see that the people here at the church wanted to learn how to say the words, and when they saw that the musicians that were being brought into the mix could actually play and could embrace them as well, it became this miracle.
The temple's musical director, Eric Nussbaum, spent almost half a year preparing for the performance. He says the Riba Mass has introduced him both to Czech culture and to the city's sizable Czech community.
They are the warmest people I've ever met. I got a feel for the whole thing at a Moravian Day festival, the 72nd annual Moravian Day festival here in the Chicago area, out in Lamont, Illinois. I heard all the singers there and I thought, oh, they would be fun to add to our choir, because what they really added to us was the spirit of the piece, because it's so close to their hearts. You know, they know it inside and out because it's their tradition. So that in spirit infused with our music making, just, it made an extraordinary experience.
So praise all round from the organizers, but what did the audience make of Saturday's premiere?
I think it was really nice, yes. I think everybody did a great job.
Okay, and have you ever sort of seen it in a church before? And was this like a setting that you're used to seeing this in?
I've actually never seen it, I have to say. I'm a little embarrassed.
Well, what do you think about it being here in Chicago?
I loved it. It was really cool, and especially being downtown, because it's accessible to all the people around, even people from the market and everything. I really enjoyed it, yes.
I saw that one time or two times in the Czech Republic. Yeah, it's really popular in the Czech culture, and so, and every year you can hear it from the radio, or you can see it in the TV. I really appreciate the American performance, how they were good in the Czech, and how they were able to teach the so hard language as the Czech is.
I thought that it intertwined a little bit of the Czech culture with the Christmas spirit, and it had an opportunity to kind of shed some light on how Czechs are celebrating their version of Christmas now in Chicago.
Okay, and do you think that a Chicago audience like took to it really warmly and well? Was that the impression you got?
I feel like mostly what I saw was some Czech Americans who took to it incredibly well. I didn't have a chance to talk to so many non-Czech related, but generally speaking, I think it was moving for those who haven't heard it for a while and maybe those who heard it for the first time.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It makes me proud of my Czech heritage.
If the warm reception at the premiere was anything to go by, these won't be the final strains of Jakub Jan Riba's Czech Christmas Mass we hear in Chicago.
Rosie Johnston there, reporting from Chicago. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Now, continuing our commemoration of the late President Václav Havel, in a special interview today, we talk with Tomáš Sedláček, the renowned economist who, in 2001, as a precocious university graduate, came to work for Mr. Havel as an economic advisor. He began by telling me what it was like to meet the iconic figure for the first time.
Yes, I was 23, and I unfortunately only worked for him a little over a year or so. And the first time we met was at Hradeček, which is the residence of the president. And there we were debating the Securities Commission. And one of the things that was under my sort of portfolio that I was looking at was the the members of the committee and the way the commission, the Securities Commission works. And of course, I was very, very nervous because it was a person, of course, for whom not only me, but the whole nation has a huge respect. But this nervousness fell away in the first, not even a minute. It was so very kind. It was a pleasure to meet him. And, you know, one is always nervous when he is meeting his or her boss, especially if it's such an important person. But since that very first few minutes, I was always, after this, looking forward to meeting him without any fear or hesitation. Even as a young man, I felt a great ear and a very kind approach. So it was a great pleasure, and the nervousness went away extremely quickly.
And so, was it a strictly working relationship, or did you also feel like he was a friend?
Well, I don't think I could go as far as to call myself a friend. We were never on the first-term basis, but we would see each other from time to time, even because we had the custom of after he left or we left the castle, we would still meet on somewhat regular basis in one of the Prague pubs. So, and also a couple of times at Hradeček, where, you know, he was always the humble center of the gravity. And we also tried to work with him on other projects. He was also very kind to endorse with an introduction both of my books. And this is the way we kind of worked, always trying to support, or I mean, I think I was at least trying to carry the heritage of sort of his humanistic approach to economics.
How would you describe his grasp of economics and business issues?
Well, he had a very original grasp. He understood it in the very wide context of the society and the age and Europe and really globally. So I must say that he was little away and ahead of the mainstream thinking here in the Czech Republic, but he was a huge influence on it. And I think he was, you know, the one who was always trying to say that economics is more than just money and profit, and that companies have a larger role to play, which is today quite a common, not only in the world, but also in the Czech Republic. But 10 years ago, when he started propagating the idea, it was truly original and controversial, and I think he had a huge impact on the way the Czech society looks today and the Czech economy. I think without him, it would be much more narrow-minded and much more closed. And I also think that he, being a big European, played a huge part in against all the anti-European voices here in the Czech Republic that we, during his reign and influence, were a credible member of the European structures and NATO structures.
When you will find yourself 20 years from now thinking back on Václav Havel and your time working with him, what specific occasions will come to mind?
Without any doubt, he already has become a legend during his lifetime. Not only a legend, I think something even more. He's become a symbol of a certain way of thinking that was very close to you know, the Prague cafeteria and intellectuals and all the people that sort of worked with hope and ideals that are a little further than just a short-term profit. Me personally, I will always remember him as the one who's able to, you know, dance with Rolling Stones and yet have a credible meeting with the most important issues in not just the Czech Republic or Europe, but truly globally. I will always remember him as he who was able to open doors everywhere, always trying to be helpful and humble. And also the way he constructed his thinking, always trying to look and succeeding to look at things from vantage points that was original. And this, I think, is something that we all have learned and are learning from him.
What would you say that your collaboration with Václav Havel brought you professionally and personally?
Well, it was my first serious job, so to speak, after I finished my university training. So, you know, the first couple of months I was trying to be very silent and just observe. I've met the most amazing array of people that was around Havel, you know, of course, this is a job that one should get full of at the end of his career or her, when one is fully, you know, experienced. I had the opposite case. I had the luxury of being able to, from the office of the president, to call any economist or intellectual that I wanted to consult a particular issue that concerned a decision that the president was supposed to make. So and nobody ever refused me. So I did this quite a lot to be able to bring to the president the fullest array of opinions of influential thinkers. This is, of course, a network that is closely knit together till this very day.
Lastly, from your own point of view, looking into the future, what kind of impact will the death of Václav Havel have on Czech society, and will it change anything?
I think it will. I was extremely surprised how many people came to Venceslav Square on Sunday. It was really a huge crowd, and I think we only now will slowly learn to realize the gift we had, which, you know, happens to a nation once in a very, very long time, that there is born a personality that is recognized, truly recognized without a doubt around the world, literally by all the sympathetic leaders. And the very ceremony on Friday, for which the biggest personalities of the world are planning to arrive, is a symbol of that. And I think we've lost something. I think we will learn to appreciate him a little more. And I think, as always was the case with him being a little bit of a prophet ahead of time, maybe we will only understand some of his thoughts a little later when they'll be more transparent.
That was economist Tomáš Sedláček and advisor to late President Václav Havel there regarding the former president's legacy. And wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today, we've received a great many notes of consolation, gratitude, respect, and blessing regarding the death of one of the greatest Czechs of the last century, and we are grateful for them indeed. Our coverage of President Havel's life, work, and death will continue throughout the week, so do stay with us. Meanwhile, this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. Your questions and comments are always welcome. You can send them to us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening, and we end with a musical piece of significance to the presidency and personage of Václav Havel, Leoš Janáček's Symfonieta.